10-minute speaker is Eric from L.A.
All right.
You'd think I'd be used to people by now. Everyone, my name's Eric. I'm an alcoholic. They told me that I could go over because I drove so far, so I actually got asked to do this when I lived in San Diego. I lived here a couple of months ago. I was here about a year. So Larry was trying to say that I did such a big thing coming here, and it's really not. My brother lives here. Business partner lives here. I had to come for somebody's graduation tomorrow. So actually, I really like doing this because it helps me. I used to think that people that got up here were really just trying to help themselves. and I was right, because when I they would say that they helped everybody here would hear something that they liked, and you know, they would do good things. But no, I always leave a speaking engagement floating, because and actually this is a really good situation for me because I don't really know anybody here, so I can lie and nobody can catch me. It's actually a really big part of my story, and I think it's one of the reasons that Larry asked me to speak. And I'm not sure that anybody in here has heard the story yet. I'll start with it because it, you know, it was really one of the most important parts of my sobriety. My life was run by fear and dishonesty, and well, before I got here, not so much since I've been here, but I still want to lie. You know, I still want to be dishonest, but you know, the steps work. You know, that's probably like my biggest message, is that the steps work. You know, I'm going to thump the steps tonight. You know, I looked for a long time for what the problem was, and somebody said to me right before I got sober the first time, said, "Do you think you have a problem with your drinking?" And no one had ever said that to me. I'd been to sanitariums. I'd been to psychologists. My mother had always blamed it on my father for me being a total disaster. And he said, "Do you think you have a problem with your drinking?" And the bells went off. That was exactly what it was. And I said, "No, I think I'm good." And, you know, coming here, I found out, yeah, absolutely. You know, when my butt fell off totally and I had run everybody off of my life and it was the last house on the block, I didn't get brought in by a rehab. I watched Saturday Night Live and saw Stuart Smalley. and knew that there was an AA meeting, and so I found one and came, but and I've been here ever since. Pretty much, I'm not kidding. I had run everybody off. I mean, nobody wanted to pay for rehab or help me get anywhere but away from them. So which was good for me. I was low bottom. I needed all of that. So I'll skip around a little bit. You know, the real important part of my sobriety was the day that I looked at my sponsor, and first I had one. You know, I did hear that part when I first got here. I got a sponsor. He had something that I wanted. He had worked the steps. He was a lot of fun, really cool guy. His name is Tony. He used to fling his hands all over the place. He was big about the big book. Every part of the big book was his favorite part, literally. Every time he talked about the big book, he'd say, "This is my favorite part." And I remember thinking, "But you said that last week about some other, what do you, but it was, he knew it. He studied the book. And I came to him after a few months of being sober, and I said, "You know, Tony, I don't want to lie anymore." Because I grew up in a Southern family, and, you know, it's not lying in the South. It's just telling stories. And that's what they do. And it's not, I'm not kidding. I caught my mother lying a bunch when I was younger. She wasn't walking on water anymore. And I said, "Mom, you know, you lie all the time." And she said, "It's not lying. It's storytelling." And she added a sweetie and a honey in there. You know, that's what they do. "Sweetie, it's not lying." But I got a hold of that. You know, exaggeration and all that stuff that comes in. And I said, you know, so I went to my sponsor and said, which was a dangerous thing to do with him, you know, and I told him I wanted to do something, change something. He always had an answer for it, right? So I said, "Tony, I don't want to lie anymore." And he said, "Are you sure?" He had to do that with me, because I would go back early on. And I said, no, I'm sure. I don't want to lie anymore." He said, "Okay, next time you catch yourself lying to somebody, I want you to tell them that you're lying to them." Yeah, it sucks a lot. So So I caught myself lying. I'm standing there telling a really great story about Las Vegas. There were a bunch of girls involved. It was 45 minutes long. I had never been to Las Vegas. And it was ridiculous. You know, hilarious laughter of identification. I mean, I'm sure everybody else here shared a Vegas story or two that never happened. So he's into it. You know, my roommate at the time is really excited about it. I was a really good storyteller. And in my head still, I still am. But these couple times taught me not to do that. So about 45 minutes in, I say, I'm lying to you. And he goes, about what part? I said, all of it. And that wasn't a lie. It was all of it. And he goes, okay, man. And just walks off. And, you know, we didn't talk much after that. And I moved out about 30 days later, rightfully. You know, that's ridiculous. And then the next time I was lying, I was speaking in an AA meeting in a room bigger than this, more people than this. And I caught myself lying. And I stopped. And it had been the first time that I caught myself lying since that first time. And I said, you know what? I'm lying. And I saw other people. What? Where'd that come from? Hang on a second. What the heck's going on here? And I'm like, really, I'm lying. I'm lying. I lied about the last 10 minutes or so of what I just said. And the whole room laughed. And they're like, oh, my God. I had this line out the door and the, you know, shaking hand deal. And, you know, people were hugging me and thank you and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm in the right place. You know, so that's the deal. I was afraid my whole life. I got that. Who knows how I got that? My mother was always afraid. I had a bunch of reasons. And as a result, I would lie to cover it up. But you couldn't tell that I was a fearful guy. So it caused all kinds of dangerous stuff. I'm not going to stay in it, but I was a thief. I was violent. I was despicable. And before I got here, I thought another great thing about sponsorship, I thought that I was the only one who was that much of a douchebag. And then I got here. And if there's a name for it, it's been done. And chances are there's a lot of people in here that have done it. And that's what my first sponsor told me when I was doing my fourth and fifth step. And so another part of getting rid of the fear and getting rid of the dishonesty is not being as sick as my secrets and not having secrets anymore. And I don't have secrets anymore. I don't run around with the fifth step on my back. You know, I don't go tell everybody all those things. But I was thorough in the fourth and the fifth. So I've worked the steps. I'll skip past the first three, go into the fourth and fifth. Major turning point in my life. He said, you don't have to write any of these things down and you'll never have to share them with anybody. And there's a chance that I've probably done them too. And I want you to feel entirely comfortable about this. I'll never tell anyone anything you ever tell me. And I want you to be thorough about this because it means your life. If you want to stay sober, this means your life. And he was serious about it. He was really funny, but he got really serious with me at the right times, which I've in turn now done with people I've sponsored. He was very serious about the steps. And he said, I want you to be thorough and we'll burn this after it's done. And he said, remember, and right before I went into it, he said, if there's a name for it, it's been done, and I've probably done it. And I used to think to myself before I did it, there's no way he's done some of these things. And he was really good at walking me into stuff. And I was scared to death because I had done some things that, you know, so I go into it, he says, okay, worst stuff first. Remember, if there's a name for it, it's been done, and I've probably done it. Okay. Here it is. And I lay the first one on him. He goes, ooh, really? And I was like, and he caught himself too. He's really cool. He goes, oh, well, okay, go on. You know. So I got a couple in and he was shocked. But he was really cool about it. We got further in and, you know, he's like, okay, I did that one. But he was really cool about it, and it lasted a long time, and I cried my face off, and I never had that floating out experience. I left like I felt totally naked, like everybody in the world knew how much of a scumbag I was. And even now, you can see it in my face probably. I'm shaking thinking about it. Even years later, my sobriety date's 1997, September 18th. And then there's things that... what? There's things... There's things still that are not comfortable. about that. You know, sometimes quicker, sometimes slow, sometimes slowly. That stuff still just works itself out. But I'm in a much better place with that. Things is I've shared some of the worst stuff in front of big rooms, and I've had people come up to me afterwards and thank me for it, and it's made me feel a little bit better that I did it. But I still, there's a piece of me that still regrets the past. I feel bad about the people that I've hurt, and I hurt a lot of people. I haven't hurt as many people since I've gotten sober. I haven't burned as many bridges. You know, that's the deal. So I came here a total douchebag. I had a problem with the powerlessness part, not the unmanageability. I went to jail a bunch. But, you know, the program's made me a person now that most people can't tell that. You know, when I share that with normal people now, and I sometimes do, they go, what? When I share the fact that I had a total deadbeat father and a disaster family, and I was a drunken idiot, and I went to jail, all this stuff, the people that... See, I'm supposed to be done. I'm going to take a few more minutes. You know, when I share that with people, I want to share the power of the program, because it really is the program for me. That's all it was. I'm a garden variety guy. I was a total, like I said, I was a total scumbag. I thought I was the only one, but I'm not. You know, there's a lot of people that have been fixed by this thing. I'm one of them. I shouldn't be standing here. I should be in jail the rest of my life for the things that I did while I was drinking. And almost all of them happened while I was drinking. When I quit drinking, those things went away. And I stay quit from drinking. What does that mean? So they tell me to shut up, huh? That's got to be good luck. If he didn't poop on my head or something. I hope he's all right, right? So with that, the thing that got me through the early part of my sobriety and still wins is the Serenity Prayer, and I armed a lot of people around me, and I still do. When things are going crazy, and I'm like kind of crazy because I get like that sometimes, a lot of people in my life know to say, "Hey, do you want to go to the bathroom? You want to go like, you know, slip off somewhere and say the Serenity Prayer?" It saved my life. The steps saved my life. The book saved my life. Those prayers saved my life. My sponsor saved my life. People in this room like you guys saved my life. So if you're here and you're not sure you're supposed to be here, the one thing that I heard early on, and I still tell to other people, you know, people that are non-alcoholic very rarely, and I've seen very few, and I actually have met a couple, but very rarely make it here by mistake. Stay 6 times. Try to identify. This place is an unbelievable place. It'll change your life. Your entire life will be totally different than you wrote the list when you were early sobriety about what it would turn out. I'm totally grateful for you guys. Larry, thank you for asking me to speak wherever you are. I'm glad I saw a bird come in here and didn't poop on my head. Thank you.